أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha ladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words is the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation, him being the mercy to all of the worlds, the last of all prophets and messengers. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَسَبَّيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is saying in Surah Al-Hujurat, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. This is for the believers. In ja'akum fasiq. If someone who is a fasiq. Now this is an important term. The fasiq in Islam is one who knows what Allah has required of him, who has stated that they believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, who for all intents and purposes, everyone knows that he has, or she has, taken shahada. But their actions are contrary openly to Islam. Meaning they have said one thing, but they deliberately rebelling against what Allah and His Prophet have said. They have not said that they don't believe, but their actions are clearly against Islam. One thing that we need to understand, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is that the shaytan is the leader of the fasiqun. Shaytan has never said that Allah is not God. Shaytan has never said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not his last prophet. But it's obvious that he is acting in contrary to that. And this is the worst of people, of creatures. One who knows better and deliberately misleads others or causes fitna. Anyone who does that is following the khutuwat of shaitan, the footsteps of the devil himself. Again, when you find him being mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Iblisa, O Iblis, what has made you not prostrate? He didn't say, because I don't believe you, God. He didn't say that. He never says in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not Allah, is not God, is not worthy of worship. As a matter of fact, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, when he, as he says in his book, and he pushes the man, he mentions this in Quran, to say, I disbelieve, to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to kufr. And when he does, he rejects him and says, I'm far from you, I believe in Allah. So, but his actions, so you need to understand, keep this in mind. And this is an important, salient point. In no way is the actions of Iblis about that he denies that Allah is God and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger. No way he does not deny it. In that way, he is not kafir like this. He is fasiq, worse. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, in ja'akum fasiqun. Someone who you know, you cannot trust that person because of what they are known to do. They say they believe, but you always take that with a grain of salt. This is a very important thing to understand. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this an ayah in the Quran for all time? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this something that we need to be aware of? Because this is a very poisonous thing in the Muslim community and has been since the revelation of the Holy Quran. Has been actually since the birth of humanity. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you with news, verify it. Unless you may harm someone, some people in ignorance, and thereafter become full of regrets for what you've done. There's no secret, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that our society is addicted to gossip and scandal. Millions, if not billions of dollars, are made at the expense of celebrity and notable persons. Whatever failings that they may have, whatever falsehood they may make, if somebody can get a picture of it or get it on tape or whatever, they can make a whole lot of money. And there's a ready audience for it. As a matter of fact, most of the news that we listen to today, most of it is in fact gossip and scandal. Very little of it is real news. But this is what they're passing off as something to inform and enlighten people.
And we seek refuge with Allah from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's warned us
that the Muslim should not keep company with those who thrive on telling tales. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if a person joins a company, and in that company is fruitless talking, and that person, before leaving that gathering, he says, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Glory be to Allah and the praise. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. I bear witness that there is no God but you. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilay. I turn to you in repent. I ask you for your forgiveness, rather, and I turn to you in repentance. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, if he says this, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, rather, La ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilay. If the person says this after knowing that, okay, this nobody was speaking about Allah, everybody was talking about each other and gossiping and spreading rumors, I need to ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him for being part of that gathering. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in His book, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, avoid being overly suspicious. Indeed, some suspicions are sinful. And do not spy, neither backbite one another. Now this is a command, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. This is part of what is required of the Muslim character. That in order for us to trust one another, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in hadith, the Muslim is defined as one whom other Muslims are safe from his hand and his tongue. That is what defines a Muslim. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Fasiq, that means that this person, you are not safe from his hand, and you're not safe from his tongue. Whether he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah or not, if that's part of his character, he is a Fasiq. And it's very critical that you be wary of that person. Beware, don't turn your back on him and don't keep company with him. Or her. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as a cautionary tale, we mention what some Islamic scholars have reported as a true story. In a time where, believe it or not, that someone who was like this, the word for it being namim, someone who's a scandal monger, someone who thrived on these tales, there was in fact a time where that person would be shunned. Nobody wanted to be around them. Nobody wanted to talk to them. Nobody wanted them as friends. Nobody wanted to hear what they had to say, because they did not want to be one of their victims. Such a bad habit reduces the worth of that society. And such a bad habit makes the wise steer clear of your company. And so it happened that one of these namim, one of these scandal mongers, found himself a slave. And he happened to be at a market where they were selling slaves. And as the story is related, they had put a sign across his neck saying, only 4 dirhams. Now you should know, at that time, if we were to say what the value of a dirham was, or what the value of a servant was, 9 times out of 10 you could not find one barely for less than 100 dirhams. Roughly that's $1,000 to $2,000 in our money today. Maybe even a little more. So when they put this sign across his neck, 4 dirhams, people were amazed. But he was still there. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days in the market. And the reason why is because every time someone would come by shocked and they'd look at him, they'd say, oh my God, why was he only 4 dirhams? The merchant who owned him said, look, he is Namin. He's a scandal monger. And they would run away. One day a Muslim brother happened in the market looking to buy a servant. And he saw this man being offered for 4 dirhams. And first question, what's wrong with him? Does he have a plague? Is he frail? Is he a terrible person? Is he untrustworthy? What's up? To every question, the merchant shook his head. And from what the businessman could see, this was a person, this servant was in good age and in good health. Finally, the merchant turned to the Muslim brother and he said, no, in fact, he's in excellent health. He's an excellent worker with no defects except one. And I warn you so that you can be sure that I'm not cheating you. He is addicted to scandal mongering. He lives for it. And thus he may cost you far more than he's worth. Well, it so happened that this Muslim was a businessman. And this news did not faze him one bit. In his mind, he guessed that he could easily overcome any defect of this sort by keeping the servant extremely busy. He would put him to work, and so much so that he would barely have time to sleep, let alone spread any gossip. So without hesitation, the Muslim businessman became the master of the servant, paying the 4 dirhams and taking him home to where many jobs lay waiting. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the days were long. And although at this estate there was only the master and his wife, the work was very hard. Every day was long. And the work was so tough and so hard that it often took several days to complete one task. And no sooner than the master had given the slave any orders, here came his wife with her list of things to do. So it wasn't long before this servant had enough. And he began to plot and plan and keep his eye open for any opportunity to rid himself of these burdens. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, like the old saying goes, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned.
And unfortunately for the master and his wife,
they were no match for this scandal monger.
One day, while going about his chores, he noticed
tension between the master and his wife. And each day, the tension grew. And the master became less and less affectionate towards his spouse. As time went on, there seemed to be no thaw in the coldness between this couple. And the servant saw a perfect opportunity in this situation. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, one day while the master was, the house was away, the servant said to the wife, "I'm not sure how to tell you this, ma'am, but it's clear to me that your husband is not happy. And I think I know why. He had her undivided attention." "What do you know?" "Well, rumor has it he's in love with somebody else." The wife was shocked. But before she could say anything, he continued and said, "I may be able to fix that if you follow my advice." "What do you suggest?" "Is your husband a heavy sleeper?" he asked. "Well, yes." "Well, if you were to take some of the hair of his chin and place it in a pouch, that would be like putting his heart in your pocket." "Well, how am I supposed to do that?" "Easy," said the slave. "Wait until he's sound asleep and shave a few hairs off of his neck and his chin. No one will be the wiser, and he will forget all about the other woman, and you will be his only affection." Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this plan appealed to her very much. And she assured him that that very night, she would do exactly what he recommended. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله ولي ولكم استغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah alladhi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Faman yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you as I remind myself. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, "There is no single scandal monger that will enter paradise." Period. This is a well-known hadith, and it was well-known at the time that this took place. And you would think that the master and his wife would have known better, but unfortunately for them, that was not the case. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the master of the house returned later that evening to find the servant pacing and in a panic. Sir, wait. "I know there are so many things that I have left undone, but I had to warn you." The master was puzzled. And the servant led him aside and began to whisper, "She means to kill you."
"Who?"
"Shh, your wife. I heard her making plans. She's in love with another man and can't wait to be with him. He's young and strong, and she daydreams about him. And all the time that you're away, I caught her talking to herself. She says she means to cut your throat and make way for the love of her life." The master was speechless and only stared at him. "Okay, I know it's hard to believe, but don't believe me. Fine, but at least just pretend to be asleep tonight. So if she plans to do you any harm, you'll be ready." Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that night, the master and his wife went to bed as usual, and it wasn't long before the master began snoring loudly in his bed next to his wife. The wife said to herself, "Here's my chance." So she grabbed a straight razor and crept to where he lay sleeping. Before she could bring the blade to his throat, he sprang out of the bed swiftly and snatched the knife out of her hand. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, sadly, the husband fell victim to the lies of the scandalmonger, and he believed that all that he had warned him about was true. That his wife was in fact in love with another man, and she was caught there in front of him, red-handed, with a razor trying to kill him. What other conclusion was he to reach? And so in the blink of an eye, without a second thought, he cut her throat. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the master and his wife were so preoccupied with the tales that they had been told by their servant that they were completely unaware that he had left the premises. Did he escape? No. His plan was to be rid of both the wife and her husband. So he was sure that as he was certain and heard the master snoring, with all swiftness, he fled to the master's in-law's home. Once he was sure that the couple was off to bed. When he reached the house of the in-laws, the parents of the wife, he pounded on the door like there was a fire. Hurry, come quick, hurry. There's no time to lose. Your daughter's in danger. I fear that my master has plans to kill her this very night. And so it was. Before their daughter breathed her very last breath, there her parents burst into the room to find the master standing over her with a blade in his hand. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, just like the master before them, the parents believed the words of the scandalmonger and didn't ask any questions. Enraged and blinded with grief, the father seized the razor, grabbed the husband, and slit his throat. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, if there comes to you one who is fasiq, verify the news. And again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, quoted by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that one day Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing by two graves, and he stopped and he remarked, the occupants of these two graves are being punished for what some may see as something trivial, but in fact these are major sins. He pointed to one of the graves and he said, the man in this grave was careless about his hygiene when he went to the restroom. Specifically in the tafsir of the hadith, that when he used the restroom, he wasn't caring about wiping himself or what got on his clothes or what have you. It was something trivial to him, and therefore he wound up being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to the other grave and he said, in this one, he is being punished for being a scandalmonger. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this cautionary tale, which the scholars of Islam sought to pass on as an extreme case, but no less true and no less a lesson for today. As we know in the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the main mission of the shaitan that he even honors other devils for, when they make the husband and wife divorce. Muslims, when they make the husband pronounce divorce on his wife, this is what the shaitan, he loves the most. and what he strives for. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, especially dear Muslim sisters, if Allah blessed you to be married to a Muslim man, don't go complaining about him to your Kafir family. Especially if they not married. That ain't none of their business. Because they have no Islamic advice to give you. And the shaitan will take the very first opportunity to throw salt in your brain about your marriage. And start suggesting that you do little things that in fact become bigger things and lead to divorce. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when we hear something we don't like, we have guidance about how to reply. It's not to get angry. And it's not to get upset. The reply is to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. And to hold off and wait and make sure about the news. If somebody brings you a tale that says so-and-so said such and such, get the other person on the phone. I got so-and-so here. He said you said such and such and so-and-so. That'll cut out that right away. If it's true and they don't admit it, you can guarantee that the person who brought you the tale will never do that again. And so you've protected yourself, inshallah ta'ala, from the worst of it. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when we hear something we don't like, it is best to say, Allahumma, oh Allah, I leave it for you to save me from what I've heard. Oh Allah, I depend upon you to protect me from any evil, and pray that you do not make us among the evil people. This is the manners. We live in a society, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, where ignorance is expected. The ignorant reply is expected and anticipated and instigated. Ooh, let's see them fight. Wait to see if you go off and just get angry or stupid or do something. That's not the Muslim. That's not the Muslim. And can't you see how valuable that intellect and behavior is to a society? That someone is slow to take the whisper of shaitan and run with it. That someone is slow and they ask Allah and they seek refuge with him from any evil. Because, again, they know nothing happens without his permission. So they wait, they verify, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them. This, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, if you don't know it, you can't teach your kids this. And if they don't know it, where are they going to get it from if you don't know it? And you see how the ignorance then, it just spreads. We, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Holy Quran, you have been raised up, ummatun wasata. You have been raised up as not only a witness, but also a beacon for other nations, for other ummas, for other people to look at and say, this is the example of how we should be living our lives. The most shameful thing, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is that we feed into their ignorance and become another spectacle. This is not the Muslim. This is not our behavior. This is not what we ascribe or aspire to be. We have an example, and that example is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is our model. That is our role model. And that's the role model that we need to study and pass on to our children, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. I remind you, as I remind myself, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
He advised us of what we should be doing. And he left us with dua. And left us with a guide of when we get into a gathering, that it's a habit. See, this is important. Birds of a feather flock together. That is one of the most truest statements. We, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it's very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions to us about the characteristics of paradise. لا تسمع فيها لغوا ولا كذابا. They don't hear any vain, foul, useless, loose talk, nor lies. You're not sitting around joking about stuff that has no worth. If that is your character here, guess what? It'll follow you there. And there's no place for you there in paradise. And so therefore, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the company that we keep should always, when we get to that gathering, especially as we're going into these holidays, high lie days, really, not holy at all, that we be careful of, even if it's our family, going and sitting around hearing vain, loose, useless talk. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his sunnah? His sunnah was, before he left the gathering, he said this: Allahumma, O Allah, grant us so much of your fear, or rather fear of you, that may serve as a barrier between us and our sins. And bestow upon us obedience to you, that may help us to reach your paradise. And grant us so much faith, that may help us to face the misfortune of this world easily. O Allah, bless us to benefit from the powers of our hearing and our sight and our health, so long as you grant us life and make us the beneficiary of them. And do not afflict us with the rancor of those who may oppress us. And do not entangle us in the difficulties of our faith. And do not make us make our main object, the world, and do not haunt our knowledge or appoint over us one who will not show us mercy. This is the dua, Ameen, reported in Tirmidhi. And this is what he said all the time. He got in a gathering, before he left the gathering, this is the dua he made. And this was his sunnah, and he did it so that what? We would know when you go to a gathering, before you leave, this is the dua you should make. Now, if you're making this dua amongst kafirs, they're going to be puzzled. What are you doing? What are you talking about? They won't understand. So why should you be there in a gathering among kafirs? It is not for us to be seated around people that are sinning. If they're there drinking and laughing and joking, guess what? Allah says, you should not be seated with them. Because what they're doing is making a mockery of your faith. They're sitting up there having pig feet and pork rinds and all this stuff. Guess what? You shouldn't be seated with them. Because they're what? Making a mockery of your faith. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in those places where Allah's name and His Prophet are not mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should be making yourself scarce. Their prayers, or the prayer that you pray, will not be heard in that gathering. As Imam Ali, alayhi salam, he said, if you don't want to be suspected, don't drag your feet to suspicious places. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have the obligation. You go, you have your family, you know, give the greetings. Just wanted to say hello, y'all. I'll see y'all later. Hi and bye. If you know what they're on. If they're open to listening to Islam, pick a gathering or time and place where they're not going to be inclined to have a drink. Y'all know how it is, especially those of us who we're the only Muslims in our family. If it's a time and it's not business,
you're not at the court, you're not at the public aid office, drink. I'm being real. They want to sit down and talk, drink. Where's the drink? I got to have a drink. Or I got to smoke. Or I got to do something. I can't just listen to what you have to say and be sober. Some of us may laugh, but that's the reality for a lot of us. And it's very important that you as a Muslim pick the time where they can hear you. Because ain't no way no Islam going to get past an inebriated brain. It's just not going to happen. The shaitan has already made himself. I'm sitting here. Now I'm not going to let them think about nothing you got to say. So you have to pick the right occasion and stand on your faith. This is a time where it becomes very difficult to be a Muslim in some families. Really, very, very difficult. You got kids, they want presents, it's trees and stuff, and you have to be on your job for real. Because the shaitan, this is his time. If you don't, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, there is no refuge for anybody else that they can run to, for your children, and there's no refuge for you. We have to do our jobs, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and we have to learn our deen. That is the only way for us, and that's the only way for us to succeed in this world. That's why we are here. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us together every week to Jumu'ah, to strengthen us, to remind us, to give us that vitamin for our faith. That is the purpose, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and therefore that's why we need to keep a masjid. This is what we have as our duty. If we let it go, do not expect anybody else to pick it up and run with it. It won't happen. So I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be feared. If you don't know your deen, make some time in your life to learn it. So that bi'idhnillah ta'ala, you can protect yourself from the shaitan and his whisper. And protect yourself from those who have no good intention but to destroy you and what you have. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.